In the name of the living and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have before us, brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's gospel reading, two anomalies. I say that because nowhere else in Holy Scripture are we told that Jesus left Jewish territory, except for today's gospel in Sidon and Tyre. He went to a place that was not Jewish. And yet he said that I am called to minister and to proclaim and call those that are chosen, Israel. I've been sent for Israel. And then he goes off to Tyre and Sidon and sort of contradicts what he said. And he's put to the test. And he has this woman that just won't leave him alone. And this woman knows who he is. She not only knows who he is, she believes who he is, that he is the Son of God, Son of David, she calls him. And in that acknowledgement, that's also that he can do all of the things that she had heard about him. Now, why would Jesus go to a Gentile land? After mentioning that he was put there for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, that's where the benefit for you and I come in. Not only did he come for the Jews, but he also came for us. The Gentiles, the outsiders, if you will. He opened the door to salvation to us, later referred to as the New Jerusalem. So you have the Old Jerusalem, Israel, and then you have the New Jerusalem, Christianity, Gentiles, how they respond to God and live according to his ways. So we find him in today's passage traveling, presumably by choice. We believe that he could find no rest amongst Israel. He was overwhelmed with people when he would show up in a place. People would come out of every nook and cranny and be there and want to hear what he had to say, and more especially wanted to see what he would do, and especially in healing. He is confronted there from the wrong side of the border, so to speak. A Gentile woman, a Canaanite. And also, it's interesting to know that Canaanites were not only foreigners and outsiders, but Israel's traditional enemies as well. And everybody there, with that exchange, knew this Canaanite woman and this Jewish rabbi have an encounter. He is confronted by this Canaanite woman who is shouting at him. There aren't too many times in Holy Scripture or in the gospel accounts that we find someone that is shouting at Jesus. She doesn't take him to the side and quietly beg his pardon or try to persuade him in a quiet way. She is shouting, demanding healing for her daughter, who is possessed by a demon. Notice what Jesus didn't say. Could you come back on Wednesday when we have a healing liturgy in our chapel? He No, he said, let it be so according to your faith. And we'll get to that faith. He is not oblivious to her, even though she was the enemy. One of those us-them kind of situations, if you will. His disciples urge him to send her away and quickly so she'll be quiet and there'll be peace. What is it exactly that they want to see him do? His disciples, that is. Do they expect him just to run her off and let her and her daughter suffer? Is that what Jesus would do? Is that what they've witnessed that he's done in the past? Well, we can't know for sure because it doesn't say. But perhaps they want him simply to give her what she wants, albeit not out of any compassion for her suffering, but as a passive-aggressive way of getting rid of her. Make it stop. When Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he's explaining to them exactly why he doesn't just heal the woman's daughter on the spot. His mission at this point anyway is to Israel and not to foreigners, Gentiles, or even enemies, outsiders. But bless her heart, she won't go away. She's persistent. She comes up close and kneels before him, calling him Lord, and straightforwardly asking for help. How can you refuse? Jesus gives her face to face the rationale he gave his disciples. I hope we can bring more light to this subject here. But he ends, if you will, with an insult, if you can imagine. Jesus, yes, he insulted her by saying, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the what? The dogs. Ouch, that hurts. But the woman didn't let her bother her. Dogs, literally small dogs like puppies or house dogs, but still an uncomplimentary term often used for Gentiles or enemies. You know, those other people. The woman, undaunted, comes back with a yes, but. Wouldn't you know what aboutism? We are shown in this confrontation that there is now and always has been a yes, but, a what about, even with the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Yes, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Can you imagine how brave this woman was to say that to someone who she knew who he was, and in front of all of her friends that day? She wasn't a Jew, didn't claim to be a Jew, but he had something that she wanted. So Jesus changes his mind. We don't find this too often in Holy Scripture. What does he change his mind about? What leads him to change his mind? One commentary points out that it is the woman's great faith. Her great faith, more than anything else, that leads Jesus to change his stance at this point in his ministry, where he is in the borderlands, so to speak. The human-made dividing lines between Gentile and Jew, Samaritan and Jew, outsider and insider, foreigner and native, all of those distinctions explaining to us the us and them kind of concept. We see here before us in Jesus, whom we call Lord, a reversal brought about by the woman's persistent faith. And boy, was she persistent. The Gospels show again and again that for Jesus, faith matters above anything else, our faith matters. In the Matthew chapter 9, he tells the hemorrhaging woman, "Your faith has made you well." In Matthew chapter 8, he says to the centurion whose servant is near death, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals a paralytic after seeing the faith of the friends who, unable to get through the crowd, make an opening in the roof and lower him down on ropes to be healed. One of the few examples in Holy Scripture of friends that had faith for another friend that they loved. How many friends do you have like that? That would believe so strongly that they would lower you down to be healed through the roof. Two blind men, also in Matthew chapter 9, hear him say, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And in John chapter 4, a man who believes Jesus' word returns home to find that his little boy, who had been close to death, has now been healed. Just by Jesus' word that he would be. It is faith which draws a positive response from our Lord. It is almost as if the Messiah, be he very God of very God, as our creeds have pointed out and say, and hence unchanging, is nevertheless pliable when confronted by faith. Faith. It's almost as if he cannot help but respond in the affirmative when he is approached in faith by anybody, whether they be an enemy or one of those people. The specific role of faith is underlined whether the healing is transacted from a distance, as it is here with the Canaanite woman who won't take no for an answer, or with the Roman centurion in Capernaum, whom we also meet in the 8th chapter of Matthew. In the case before us today, the Canaanite woman's persistent faith leads Jesus to rethink and redefine his mission on the spot. Do you have a persistent intercession that you make and offer up to God for a loved one, maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor, maybe a relative? I do. My oldest grandson, who is challenged in life because of behavior disorders, he doesn't want to be like that. He told me that. I don't want to be like that. And I said, "Well, Owen, I remember you in prayer every single day by name." God hears that. I will be persistent, have been persistent, and will continue to be persistent. There are numerous other instances of healing, whether from afar or up close and personal, shows this to be the rule, not the exception. Do you want healing from the Messiah? Come to him in faith. Call him in faith. Shout at him, if you will, in faith, and he will respond. He can't help but to respond. So then, how will we respond, all of us, here in this place? Our status, if we dare call it that, as regular churchgoers, will not necessarily draw forth Jesus's healing. Our status, if we dare call it that, as disciples, is not necessarily a guaranteed path to the faith that heals, either. Note well the contrast between Jesus' response to the Canaanite woman great is your faith, and to the sinking Peter that we heard about walking on water, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What becomes of this woman in Holy Scripture? We don't know, because it doesn't say. But we do know her daughter was healed from that moment on. Beyond that, we know nothing, and she disappears from the Holy Scriptures after that. St. Peter, however, does not disappear, as we all know. He keeps showing up. He of little faith, from the Gospel's beginnings until now, we have twin models of faith. Peter of little faith, and this shouting Canaanite woman of great faith. The point of all of this is, of course, faith. It is faith that gets Jesus' attention, and faith that draws forth his healing power, be it the little faith of Peter or the great faith of this unknown Canaanite woman. Where are we here in all of this? Where are you? Do you find yourself on some kind of border between doubt and faith? Are you confronted by an ailment you can't seem to shake? It is faith that will give you release, be it the little faith or the great faith of this woman. One does not have to be a bold and persistent shouter in life. There can be a persistence in regular church attendance, placing yourself in a holy gathering, whether we are shouting as we go or plodding along in life just because it's what we do. Where buried in all of that brings you here week after week is the faith that saves, the faith that heals. What pushes you to seek Jesus, be ye shouting or be ye timid? May we not be afraid of our own needs. With this Canaanite woman, this foreigner, this outsider as our guide, may we not be put off by the outsiders, the homeless, the poor, or some foreign immigrants who come through our doors shouting their need, demanding things that we think only are meant for us. What would we have Jesus do? And what might we do in his place? Run them off, or offer to them, even if in spite of ourselves and our consciousness of our borders, the healing grace and mercy that God offers to them. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.